Our present homily will be unusual. I'm to give this in Rome in about 10 days. It is entitled The Eucharist and the Alliance of the Hearts of Jesus and Mary. For most people, a title like the present one must seem strange. The Eucharist, the Alliance of the Hearts of Jesus and Mary. A strange title, even to firm believers. Before we go any further, therefore, let me explain briefly what this title means. There are three basic terms they call for explanation. The Eucharist, the Alliance, and the Two Hearts. What do we mean by the Eucharist? By the Eucharist we mean the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, who is really and substantially present on the appearance of bread and wine. Why? In order to offer himself in the sacrifice of the Mass, received by us in Holy Communion, be the object of our adoration. By alliance, we mean not only cooperation with the hearts of Jesus and Mary, but totally dedicated commitment. These two hearts, of course, are those of our Lord and of our Lady. I'd like to reword the title. The well-being, even the survival, of the human family depend on the faith of everyone in the Holy Eucharist, imitating mutual love of Jesus and Mary. First, generic statement. No Eucharist without Mary. It is remarkable how widespread ignorance of so many professed Catholics in just what happened when the angel appeared to Our Lady at Nazareth. When Mary told the angel, "Be done to me according to your word," God, who was present as God on earth, the dawn of creation began. God began present on earth, not only as God, but as the God-man. In other words, God began to exist as man the moment Our Lady consented to becoming the Virgin Mother of her Creator. Impossible to exaggerate the importance of Mary's words. What she said, "Be it done to me according to your word," that moment, the God who existed from all eternity began to be present on earth as man. Once God became man, he intended to remain incarnate for all eternity. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of this statement. Once God became man, he intended to remain man for all eternity. Christ lived a mortal human life, his death on the cross. And we've said more than once, God had to work an astounding miracle for him as the God-man, the incarnate God, to be able to die. He chose to die Then when he rose from the dead, being on earth visibly for 40 days. All this needs to be underlined. Christ remained visibly, repeat visibly, on earth for 40 days. Then he ascended, visible Christ, ascended to heaven. We profess in our creed, he is now seated at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. But this is where everything in this homily or conference comes in. On the night before he died, ordained his apostles priests. Why? Mainly, that he, the God-man, might continue doing what he had done when he changed bread and wine, his own living body and blood. Why did he do this? In order to be not only in heaven, to remain on earth as the God-man in the Holy Eucharist, repeat until the end of time. Any qualification, any distinction we make between Christ and the Eucharist and the real, full, total Jesus Christ, now in heaven, humanity and divinity, would be and is heresy. Therefore, impossible to exaggerate the role of Mary in the Holy Eucharist. And except for her, would not have been any incarnation. Without the incarnation, could be no Eucharist. Because what is Eucharist? Except the incarnate God. Christ in the Holy Eucharist, therefore, is identical. Repeat, is identical with the Christ of history, possessing the same human nature. This we also know presents two possibilities. Having the same human nature can mean that in both cases, Christ is only the same human soul that he has only the same human body. However, the Catholic faith teaches that the identity of Christ's human nature covers both body and soul. Everything made Christ man was to flesh from his Virgin Mother. Everything that makes Christ as man is present in the Blessed Sacrament. The Word is everything. Consequently, we find the stress of all the Church's documents on the real presence, declaring that Jesus is present with the fullness, the totality of his human nature. The infallible teaching of the Church could not be clearer. In the Eucharist is present the whole Christ, that which we've used so often, the totus Christus. Having which makes Christ Christ, he is present in the Blessed Sacrament. His hands and feet, his face, his lips, his eyes. Every faculty of his human soul is present in the Eucharist. Question, the Eucharist has a mind. Pardon me. How many minds does Jesus have? Question, does Jesus in the Holy Eucharist have only one mind? Or does Jesus have both a divine mind and a human mind? was the right answer. One or two. Christ in the Eucharist has a truly divine mind. Christ in the Eucharist has a fully human mind. Christ in the Eucharist has a truly and fully divine will. And correspondingly has a truly and fully human will. In the Eucharist, therefore, is present everything that makes Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Is all present as truly as he was present when Our Lady conceived him, when he was born in Bethlehem, always present at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. And Jesus told the crowd, John's sixth chapter should be, all of you, one of your favorite sources of meditation. Amen, amen. Jesus told them, I say to you, that you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, shall not have life in you. That is why Christ instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist. We know the Eucharist is a sacrament three times over. The sacrifice, sacrament of the Mass, communion, sacrament of Holy Communion, and the present sacrament of the real presence. When we speak to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, is he here just as truly, just as fully as he was when his disciples spoke to him in Nazareth? Is he present with every faculty of a human body, human soul, now in the Eucharist that he had then? Emphatically, yes. We speak to him. We express our thoughts in words. Suppose you speak out loud. Does Jesus hear us? Does Christ in the Holy Eucharist have, shall I say, a pair of ears with which he can hear us? As Catholics, therefore, we believe that Christ is present in the fullness of his humanity. Let it be as clear as we can, telling the fullness of his humanity abstractly, but concretely. Everything which makes Christ man is present in the Holy Eucharist. Unless it were true, there could be no adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There could be no Holy Communion. There could be no sacrifice of the Mass. All of this we owe to whom? To Our Lady. When she agreed, be it done to me according to your word, God then consented, if you wish, Our Lady's requests. And the God whom she adored became present as the God-man in her own womb. Now the alliance of the two hearts. In sacred scripture, human heart means many things. But in the Bible, it especially expresses selfless love. When then we speak of the hearts of Jesus and Mary, we mean the two loves of Jesus and Mary. On his side, Christ's love is that of the living God, the very definition of love. When Christ became man, Holy Father likes to say it, love became incarnate. Love took on human flesh. Moreover, incarnate love, not only became man, remains a man in heaven, right hand of his Heavenly Father, and on earth, blessed sacrament of the altar. After all, the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, and heaven is Holy Eucharist, unveiled in joy for all eternity. The same, repeat, identical Jesus, who rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, now see at the right hand of his Heavenly Father, the same Jesus, identical Jesus, is present on earth in the Holy Eucharist. What about Mary? On Mary's side, the Immaculate Heart is a sinner's love, virginal mother of Christ. We speak almost casually of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Those two words, immaculate and heart, express everything about the Blessed Virgin, now, shall we say, at the right hand of a divine Son. The immaculate part of the title represents her complete sinlessness, her utter and unspeakable sanctity. That, by the way, is what sanctity means. Sanctity means sinlessness. We grow in sanctity and become less and less sinful. That's the immaculate side of Mary's heart. And then we address her as the immaculate heart of Mary. The heart, as we've said, stands for love. Mary's Immaculate Heart, therefore, stands for two things, for utter and total sinlessness, her perfect sanctity, and secondly, her, what shall we say, her deep love of God, as a consequence of which she loves us. Only one who loves God as fully and completely as Mary does can love us. Our primary focus here on the alliance of these two hearts. What do we mean by alliance? Alliance, of course, means relationship. We may say the alliance between the two hearts began when the second person, Holy Trinity, took on our human nature. In that moment, God, who is God, who exists from all eternity, began to exist as man, womb of his mother Mary. Acting with the heart that Mary had, she would not have conceived her son or given him his heart of flesh. Heart of Jesus, we may say, began with the heart of Mary. And except for her agreement, We have the Mother of the Most High. When there had been no incarnation, without the incarnation, there would have been no Christianity. Was therefore, from the first moment, an exchange of hearts. Christ exchanging his heart for his mother's heart. Moreover, now meet an exchange of bodily hearts. Mary giving Jesus his heart of flesh is also a deep exchange of the spiritual hearts or loves between Mary and Jesus. The moment Christ was conceived in Mary's womb, Christ gave her that fullness of grace which, except for Christ living in his mother, she would not have possessed. He loved her, we may say, wholeheartedly. She loved him wholeheartedly. She gave him the fullness of maternal affection only one through the grace could provide. But that was only the beginning, the alliance of the two hearts. At the visitation, the moment Our Lady greeted Elizabeth, and the voice of Mary's lips heard by Elizabeth, immediately what happened. Elizabeth says, baby in a womb, stirred for joy. Why? Because Mary began to be what she's always been since, the one through whom Christ gives us his grace. And let's be clear, they are all, in greater or less measure, to be a source of grace for other people. But what an important adversity this is. We shall be only as effective channels of God's grace to others. We ourselves possess grace in our own souls. After all, an alliance is a partnership. In this case, it was a partnership of Jesus and Mary. He, as the source of all grace, was being carried in Mary's womb. Repeat, and she believed it. She believed it. Therefore, the channel of grace Mary was, from Jesus to sanctify John, just because she greeted her kinswoman at visitation in the town of Judah. I think I should say this. Every act of kindness we perform toward another person, every act of charity, is meant to be communicator of grace to that person. And it will give only as much grace to the other person. We ourselves are deeply united with Jesus Christ. The church, cleansed the soul of John the Baptist, or should we say, Jesus Christ, Peter his mother, cleansed the soul of John months before he was born. Then in Bethlehem, the alliance between the two hearts Please, Mary, literally open the heavens. When he was born in the stable, by divine power, sent his angels to the shepherds to announce his birth. And that moment began, and going on ever since, will continue until the end of time. What began then? The alliance between the hearts of Jesus and Mary, proclaiming the good news of salvation to a fallen human race. In the moment people who are unbelievers hear the word of God, God gives them grace which otherwise they would never possess. Mary, therefore, may be called the first evangelist of her divine Son. The moment she gave him birth, angels appeared from heaven, proclaimed that the Savior of the world was born. All she had to do was show her newborn child to the shepherds. They believed. They in turn told others. They in turn told us. Every Christian believer on earth today, and all of us, can trace his faith to the faith of Mary, who inspired the faith of the shepherds, who passed on their faith over the centuries, even to us, 2,000 years after Christ was born. But the key, I repeat, the key is to be closely united with Jesus. With that alliance, born of love, between Jesus and Mary, has generated every believer in Christ in the last 2,000 years. I've seen much more, my words may seem to imply. Let me go on. In the temple, at the presentation, was again the alliance of the two hearts of Jesus and Mary. It revealed what the children of Mary, followers of Christ, are to expect. Simeon told Mary, this child is destined to be the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and a sign he contradicted. Your own soul, your heart, shall be pierced. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What Simeon told Our Lady, he was telling every follower of Christ ever since. Let's be sure we know what we are hearing. Simeon told Mary that her son will be the occasion for the fall and for the rise of many. Ever since Calvary, when his enemies crucified him, Mary's son had been the cause for the rise and sanctification of many. He's also been, let's say it, the cause or the occasion for the fall, condemnation of many. Christ has had many friends, but he also has many enemies. The Herods, the Pharisees, scribes and Judases, the Pilates, and Jesus in the first century have continued to condemn Christ ever since. The mother of Jesus is always to be the compassionate mother of sorrows. Alliance with Jesus, an alliance of patience and mercy for sinners, continue to reject and even hate her son if they rejected and crucified him on the first Good Friday of Christian history. Hope I'm plain. quite was opposed to his physical stay in Palestine. So strongly opposed, he himself was crucified. Those who followed him were also for 300 years. To become a Christian meant to become a martyr. Who do I want to share with you? We are to realize the alliance of these two hearts in ourselves. We are to expect opposition, expect rejection, expect, shall I say it, hatred, and expect it as God's will, even death. All of this is locked up in what happened to Jesus Christ, we're saying, already in his childhood. However, let's be clear. We all claim, as I'm sure we do, love Jesus Christ. Let's be honest. The price of love is suffering. Suffering for believing what we do not comprehend. After all, the alliance of the two hearts of Jesus and Mary was not and is not. Alliance of equality. Jesus is God. Mary is his creature. But he sets down the condition of loving him. Do not expect to explain the reasons why Mary had to pay so dearly and deeply for the love of Jesus. The price of loving the Son of God. We go on. Building on the family, the alliance of the two hearts. All we've seen so far was basic what I want to explain now. What we have to explain, how the human family, especially the modern family, the Western world, was either rebuilt its faith, hearts of Jesus and Mary, or disappear from human history. I've taught Marxism for too many years. Know what I'm talking about? Karl Marx and his followers have been, as I've said more than once, the arch-enemies of the family. Family must be wiped out. We are seeing an awful lot. It's awesome to predict what will happen to the once sound and stable family in Euro-America as we Euro-Americans recover or restore our faith in the loving hearts of Jesus and Mary. It tells us only a believing Christian family can resist the seduction of a paganized world inspired by the devil to destroy human life. And to be honest, our spiritual families meant to model on, be models for human families of father, mother, and children. Faith further tells us only the grace that comes from faith in Jesus and Mary can cope with the powers of evil unleashed by our media of social communication. Faith further tells us there's no alternative. Either we believe in the love of Jesus and Mary, strive to the best of our power to live that love by ourselves, or we'll be swept out of existence. Here's our question further. Can I be more specific? Yes, painfully specific. The heart of Jesus, a human body, and the marriage feast of Cana, listen to his mother. When his mother intimated he should work a miracle. Not even tell him what to do. The lovers were so deep, he immediately and instinctively realized what she wanted. And thus, the first miracle that Christ worked was worked because his mother asked him to. In today's world, believe you me, today's world needs a flood of miracles, even to survive, not to say thrive. Question, what must we do? We are to imitate the lines of these two hearts. We must practice nothing less than heroic charity. And there is no way we can obtain this grace to practice any virtue heroically, least of all the virtue of charity, except from Jesus Christ present in the Blessed Sacrament. Religious life will survive only when there is still faith, the real presence. His life will thrive only there is still a deep love of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, believing in the heart of Jesus, his heart received from his mother. Everything, and I mean this, everything in our lives depends on our faith in Christ's real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And the Father of the Church tell us, Mary conceived her son in her mind, for she conceived him in her body. Mary's deep faith in a divine son in her womb gave her the phenomenal, superhuman love that she had, not only for her son, for all of us. Let's be clear. Our Lady loved us from the moment that she conceived Jesus. What do we need? We need something of Mary's deep faith in order to obtain from her divine son something of his deep superhuman love. Mary, Mother of God, we believe that you are the Mother of the Most High. We express that faith, Mary, especially our devotion to your divine Son present in the Holy Eucharist. We ask you, we beg you, deepen that faith in our souls, believing more deeply, may love more faithfully. Because Mary, Mother of God, future existence of all human families, whether physical or spiritual, depends on faith in your divine Son being present among us in the Holy Eucharist. Mary, we believe, obtain for us and a deeper faith. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.